right, let's continue with our next presentation. There we are. I'm happy to announce Heather Enlow, and she will be talking about a new ground level in Florida, urban soils forming in fill material. Welcome.
Hey, thank you all for coming to my talk. This is research that I've done with my colleague, Alan Bacon, and we're both in the Soil and Water Science Department at the University of Florida. And like many urban soils, our soils in Florida are being developed using fill material. And we often joke that in Florida that it's really flat, and it is. But we do have slight, subtle changes in elevation that lead to really big changes in soil drainage. So you can have within an area very poorly drained soils to well-drained soils. And so when a development comes into these type of areas, they raise the elevation of that development using fill material. And so they're getting those houses out of the floodplain. And so where they're getting that fill material is typically on site. So they are building these retention ponds. And I think, can you see the map? Oh, good, yay. So they're building these retention ponds, and they're excavating the material, the soil, and also the underlying sandy marine sediments. They're excavating all of that material up, bringing it up to the soil surface, doing a very coarse mix, and then putting it back on the earth's surface. And that's how they raise the elevation up. This is a huge, massive earth-moving event that is completely changing the surface of the landscape, the elevation as well as the hydrology. Now, this process is incredibly efficient at getting our developments on the ground and built fast. And it is, but in the process, the plants, the horticultural plantings, the turf, are suffering from it. And so this is an intact core, just of the surface soil with the turf sitting on top. And so this is from a five-year-old development, and a lot of our five-year-old developments and younger look like this. And the turf sod is sitting on top of the fill material, essentially sitting on top of the soil surface. Very little roots are penetrating through. And so the landowners are having a lot of problems keeping their turf looking good. So they're using a lot of resources, water and nutrients, to keep this turf alive. And so there is a lot that we don't know about the fill materials that we're using in our urban soils in Florida. So there's a lot still to be understood in this area. And so what I'm presenting today is a lot of just preliminary results from our work. And these are questions that I get from our county extension agents and from our green industry folks. And the story of today that I want to focus on is soil compaction, so soil bulk density, and soil carbon and nitrogen contents in urban soils forming and fill material in different age developments. The study location is in Lakewood Ranch, which is in Manatee County, Florida, which is along the Gulf Coast. And Lakewood Ranch is a planned community. It's about 9 miles from north to south and 4 miles from east to west. And it is composed of 13 distinct communities or developments, and they're distinct in the age that the development was put into place. And the oldest development, so the first community within Lakewood Ranch, was built in 1995, and the most recent was built in 2015. And so there's 13 communities total, but for this study, we looked at just five. And we looked at the oldest development in 1995, and then the development in 2015 as the youngest. And these soils were sampled in the summer of 2015. This is what Lakewood Ranch looks like currently. So this is just one view of Lakewood Ranch. You can see those stormwater retention ponds and the houses there that's all built on fill. Okay, so why is it important to study different age developments? And we have seen through research that soils on older landscapes have lower bulk densities and higher soil organic matter than soils on newer landscapes. So we see this change in soil quality over time. We also see an accumulation of carbon over time in lawn soils. And in Florida, in some of our improved grasslands, we also see an accumulation of carbon over time, sometimes in even shorter time periods. So I wanted to see what we would see in a 20-year time frame development and changes in soil quality over those time frame. Okay, so the purpose of this study is, how does bulk density and soil carbon and nitrogen percentages vary with respect to the length of time since construction of different age developments in Lakewood Ranch? And so my hypotheses were fairly dull, I guess, because we didn't know much about these soils, so they're the null hypotheses that we wouldn't see any change with development age, and we also would not see differences in soil quality parameters between the surface soils and subsurface soils. So the study design is on these five distinct communities or developments within Lakewood Ranch, the oldest being 1995, and we sampled 3 to 4 common areas within each age development, so for a total of 16 experimental units. Now, within each common area, we sampled 3 subsamples for soil physical and chemical analyses. And for bulk density, we sampled anywhere between 2 and 3 subsamples per common area. And I want to say that the bulk density was the most difficult parameter to get, and it took a lot of subsampling to get these 2 and 3 samples that were very good and respective samples for the each community. And we sampled 2 depths, the 0 to 6 centimeter depth and the 6 to 30 centimeter depth. And the reason why we chose common spaces was that when each community or development was put into place, the common area was the first to go into that development. So it reflects the true age of that development, when that development was started, which are the ages on that map. So the common area was built so that would bring people in to buy houses within that development. And the common areas were all managed by the Lakewood Ranch Authority, so they had very similar management strategies for irrigation, fertilization, and mowing. And they also all the points I wanted to bring into that. So here's a picture of that of those common areas. Oh, the other thing, they're all the same turf species, St. Augustine. That's what I was trying to remember. So there's a picture of just one of the common areas. So a lot of park-like community areas in these common areas. Okay, as far as statistical analysis, we looked at a two-way ANOVA, looking at the main effects of development age and depth and the interaction between the two. Now, this analysis was helpful, but really the true strength of the statistical analysis that we ran for this data is in number 2, the linear effect of development age within each depth. And this is really looking at if there was a significant linear effect that's less than .05, that provides evidence that the relationship with age is decreasing or increasing with age. So essentially, this is versus no directional trend at all. So this was very helpful in looking at the impact of age within each depth of the soil that we measured. So here's to start some of the things that we found. This is what the urban soil from the 6 to 30 centimeter depth looked like, and it looked a lot like the fill material itself, very little root impact into this depth. And so there's a huge, huge variety in just the way this material looked. Now, what was very interesting, though, is that the physical, the particle size analysis on a sand, silt, and clay level was not very variable. These were all primarily sand, so 90 to 98% sand. So the rest of my data graphs are going to have this appearance, where we have the data on the left in a graph form and then the statistical analysis on the right. Oh, I'm sorry, the other option, but you see what I'm saying. So here on our graph, we have age on the x-axis and on the y-axis our dependent variable. In this case, it's total carbon percent from 0 to 4%. Our surface depths are 0 to 6 centimeters, and that's in the closed circle, and the open circle is the 6 to 30 centimeter depth. And so if we look at the ANOVA results, we see that there is no significant trend with development age at a p-value of 0.12. There is a significant effect of depth, and the age by depth interaction is also significant. So this is really where the linear effect statistical analysis is very helpful, because we do see a significant trend with age for depth 1, which reflects this higher values of total carbon in the 0 to 6 centimeters in the 13-year-old development and the 20-year-old development. Now, depth 2, there was no significant trend with age. So when we look at that percent carbon that's in that depth 2, to me it seems to reflect the original carbon percentage that was brought in with the fill material, so very low carbon percentages. And what we see in the surface depths, the 0 to 6 centimeters, in the 13-year-old development and the 20-year-old development, is the impact of plants putting material into that soil. And so it is highly variable, which I think reflects the variability of plant growth within these developments. The variability is very low in the younger developments in the 0 to 6 centimeter depth, and that's because that turf sod is still sitting directly on top of that fill material, and no roots are penetrating into it. Okay, so that's our percent carbon data. Next is percent nitrogen data, and this data looks very similar, or at least the trends look very similar to what we see with our percent carbon. Now, in this analysis, the development age did have a significant effect, and depth has a significant effect, and then there was a significant depth by age interaction. When we look at the linear effect, we see a very similar trend with no, or I should say we see no trend with the depth too with age. So again, this fill material seems to be coming in with very low percent nitrogen. And then we see within the surface soils of the 13-year-old and 20-year-old ages a higher amount of nitrogen. And this is again probably from plant inputs, but also maybe a history of inorganic fertilizer within these soils and these older developments. Okay, so here is the bulk density data for these soils. And what we see here is a significant effect of development age as well as depth, but there is an insignificant depth by age interaction. And so when we look at the linear effect, we see with both depths a significant trend with increasing development age. And so when we look at the younger developments, they're above this, or right at and above this threshold of 1.6 grams per centimeters cubed. And this is really a threshold that we look at for the impact of soil bulk density on plant growth. So these are very compacted soils that are probably impacting plant growth, which is what we could see when the sod is still sitting on top of this material, even almost up to 5 years after development. And then when we look at the older developments here, we see bulk densities below that 1.6 level. So some change or impact with age of development on the bulk density. What I was expecting to see is that if all of these developments were put into place using very similar compaction methods, that bulk density in the 6 to 30 centimeters depth wouldn't have such a significant trend with age. So my feeling is that some of these, not only are we seeing an impact of age, but we're also seeing an impact of development practices with time, that these older developments may have been installed in a way that did not compact the soils quite as much as what we're currently seeing. Now granted, this needs more data. We need more data from different levels within the soil for bulk density to see if this holds true. Okay, so in conclusion, compaction is a concern in the newer developments, these five-year-old developments and less. The soil quality parameters in the surface soils do seem to change with development age. Bulk density and percent nitrogen were some of the strongest. And we did see some change in soil carbon. They had significant directional trends over development age. There is this high variability of carbon and nitrogen in those older developments. I think more sampling needs to take place to get an idea of that variability, as well as really the effect that we see across these different developments on soil quality. And soil bulk density may differ from development to development as a result of different construction practices over time. This is something I would like to look into some more with more bulk density. More bulk density data, but I think it's something of a significant factor to consider when looking at these different age developments, because the bulk density is truly impacting plant growth, which will impact other soil quality parameters over time. And so with that, thank you so much for, one more slide. Thank you so much for being here and listening to my talk, but I do have some thank yous. This project would not be possible without Michelle Atkinson. She is our county extension agent, an environmental horticultural agent in Manatee County. And then also, of course, not without the Lakewood Ranch Interdistrict Authority, who gave us permission to be on all of their common areas. And then some other folks who are actively working at trying to solve some of these problems in these urban areas. So thank you very much.
Did you look at the source of the sod? Or what has changed over the years?
That That is a great point, and it has changed. The percentages of organic matter and sand within the sod have changed over time, and that is an area I need to look into. Yes, that's a good question. Yes, sir.
Is there no requirement, construction requirement, or encouragement to add organic matter like compost when these soils are being created?
So the question is there a regulation involved in adding in organic matter when the fill material is brought in and created for urban soils? And as far as I know, there is not. Now, our county extension agents are promoting the use of compost in these soils. So they're suggesting to folks to till it into the soil before the sod is coming in. And for folks who already have sod, they are working on recommendations for top dressing. So that is something that we are working with at the University of Florida, but as far as I know, there are no regulations that require that when these construction practices are in place. So that's a great question. Yes, sir. In the back, and then I'll remember this number.
Do you redeem any kind of runoff into retention ponds due to reduced penetration?
So that is something that Dr. Mark Clark and our department is looking at, and so they're concerned about phosphorus because his research is all about are these stormwater retention ponds doing what we need them to do? In regards to when they sell these properties, they're selling them as lakefront property. They're not selling them as stormwater retention pond property. So they are not managing the vegetation communities around the pond correctly. And so, yes, there is active research going on with that with Dr. Mark Clark.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And I saw one more question. Yes.
Yeah. How did you determine back density?
We dug a small hole down to a depth around 18 centimeters was our target, and then we used a soil bulk density core where we pounded it in with gravity into a column of known volume. It was not easy and not pretty. So this is something that we need to actually spend some more time improving on. I feel like these numbers are good numbers, but it took a lot of effort to get to it, and I think the process needs to be streamlined. So the surface and the 6 to 30 were taken using the same bulk density core. It's just that we had to dig out the surface material off to get to that about 18 centimeter depth to take the second bulk density measurement. All right. Thank you so much.